Hello and welcome to the Dadcast. My name is Matt.
My name's Paul.
And we are both dads, gamers, and tech lovers.
And content creators.
And don't forget content creators. This is our podcast and we hope you enjoy it. Stay tuned, tune into future episodes, and we hope that you enjoy the chill out with us. And of course, we like to enjoy
a good old fashioned drinky poo.
A good old fashioned drinky poo. So we will always introduce a new drink each week or each episode. So stay tuned, tune in, have fun, chill out, and de-stress as a parent, a dad, a gamer, and a tech lover.
Enjoy it.
Peace.
Love you.
So hello everyone, welcome back. It's been a little bit of a delay.
We had a delay.
We're going to blame bank holidays for this.
Blame the bank holidays, and it was my wife's birthday.
And we'll blame your wife. So it is now episode eight. Season three. Hasn't time flown?
It has.
Eight episodes with each other.
Crazy, isn't it?
We're still friends.
We've been for a lot worse.
We're alcoholics, but we are.
Yeah, we are.
We are still good friends. So welcome back. And we are at the verge of another bank holiday weekend, and you're not working.
I'm not. I'm luckily, my work has decided to close for the weekend because of some guy's getting a shiny new hat, apparently. So
yeah, we'll talk about the man with the shiny new hat in a moment. So yes, welcome back, everyone. Thank you for dropping in. If our usual fans in Belgium and Taiwan are listening, we love you very much.
Hello and ni hao.
Anyhow, and we are obviously going to be launching straight into this week's episode with our favourite format, which is a drink. Now, you excited me this week, Paul, by saying you had something extra special.
Like I believe the way I described it was fit for a king.
Fit for a king. So there is a theme.
It's topical.
There's a theme clearly running with this week's alcoholic beverage. And this week, we're also doing another little thing that we're going to do two drinks, Paul.
Two drinks,
because I have also got a drink. And to be honest, I can't wait another 2
Wouldn't
weeks
to drink
Wouldn't
be a king's coronation without two extra pints.
Exactly. So we're going to do back-to-back.
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 Do you realize I've got to drive and pick Layla up from Brownies later?
I do. No, well, you can maybe take yours with you, but we'll we'll show you the details shortly.
Cool.
So, yeah, there we go. So we're going to start off probably with this week's drink. Over to you, Captain. It's your round.
Beautiful. So we do like a little bit of a blurb.
Mm-hmm.
The thing with this one is the can, the front of the can,
mm-hmm.
is the reason I bought it.
Okay. You're swayed by the advertising.
Yeah. So the old blurb is just a thirst-quenching pale ale with refreshing tropical notes brewed in partnership with Freedom Brewery. It is just a Audi pale ale. This is Long Live the King.
The King Charles.
Oh, that's amazing. I can see why you like that.
And it's got a little picture of a King Charles Spaniel on the front wearing a crown.
Oh, that is awesome. That's definitely going on my Instagram story. But you've also gone for a 4%er. We've reversed it, and I'm coming in strong this week.
I thought I'd, you know.
To be fair, the can was everything on
the
this
can,
one.
Yeah.
So the Great British Brewing Company Session Pale Ale, and it's got a King Charles Spaniel.
I believe that would be?
King Charles Spaniel, Long Live the King Charles. It's a Cavalier.
It's a Charles Cavalier.
Brewed in partnership with Freedom. Well, God Save the King.
God Save the King. Chin.
So, for those who aren't in the UK, this is the coronation weekend where the UK has a new king. And you either love the royal family or you don't. And in this house, we do. We like the royals. I'm not sure on Paul's stance on the royal family, but the fact he bought a royal beer would tell me he's got a secret soft spot for the Kingdom of Britain.
It's one of those, like, it's all I've ever known, isn't it? So, like, I don't really...
Oh, that's nice.
I'm not pro. I'm not against. Like, they're there, and I appreciate they're there, and I think it is a great part of our heritage that we have the royals.
I think the key is not to think of the royals as people, because, to be honest, they could be Bellens, for all I know.
Oh, it's nice beer, that is.
That is very nice, isn't it?
Very nice. Tropical and refreshing.
Mm.
But yeah, no,
that is very light.
I'm not pro, I'm not against. Like, I think a lot of the things you see on TV and hear about them, you know, they obviously live in that very outdated world in their own little bubble.
They do, but I think a lot of it is heritage and history that we're far too quick to forget.
Yes.
And I think we're far too quick to, you know, have very little identity as a country for fear of upsetting someone.
Mm.
Now, the thing is, we should be proud of who we are. You know, Britain, for all its faults, have also provided many, 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 many positives throughout the world, whether it is industry, whether it is fashion, whether it is music, whether it's anything like that.
Yeah.
I think as a country, we've been so shamed, even internally, externally and internally, that we're, you know, the Union Jack is some sort of dirty hooligan's flag.
Yeah, yeah.
That we've kind of lost our pride. And I had this at work this week. Like, none of the staff wanted to put up any bunting or any Union Jacks or anything. I'm like, for God's sake, we're all born in this country. We're all, you know, multi-generational English people. Let's show our pride in our country.
And that's why, fair comment.
You know, everyone in the country is so fucking miserable all the time. It's like, you know, it's you've got to just sometimes put certain things aside. I'm not a big Prince Andrew fan, not going to lie. You know, I'm not.
You're a bit too old for him, that's why.
Well, exactly. You know, I'm a bit scorned because, you know, I didn't get hit on and I didn't get a payoff. But equally, the royal family's been around for hundreds, if not thousands of years. It's not the sum of who we know in our lifetime. It's something the country has had for a millennia.
Which is crazy because, like, talking to my grandma about things like this, though she's obviously been around a while. For me, growing up, there's only ever been one person on that throne.
God save the Queen.
God save the Queen. But I'm pretty sure my grandma was saying she's seen like three or four people.
Mm-hmm.
Grace that throne with their ass.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's a mad thing to think because I can't even imagine that many people going through it.
But I think we're partly spoiled because we've had one queen for so long.
Yeah.
That basically, not only do we not know any different, our parents don't know any different, and to a degree, a lot of people's grandparents probably don't know any different because the queen was sworn in, what, in the 40s, 50s?
Something like that, yeah. Like,
you know, long time she was sworn in. Yeah. So it's multi-generational queen. But prior to that, it was probably like every 30 years or so.
Probably.
Or whatever. And probably subsequently, Charles will only probably have 15 years.
6 months.
Yeah, 6 months he's assassinated. You didn't hear that here. But you know, he might have 10 years.
Yeah.
Then it'll go straight to William. And then we might have William for 20 years. And then we'll have his son for, you know, the next 40 years, whatever. So you might find that this was the last one, the longest reign, you know, the last multi-generational ruler.
Until potentially someone later on down the line.
Yeah. It seems a bit weird saying God save the King.
But yeah, I am, in a way, I'm quite proud that, you know, the coronation. Will it be on the TV at home? Probably.
Yeah.
Because it'll be a good thing to watch with the kids.
Yeah.
Even though, like, with the whole, like, the Queen's funeral stuff, it's a big thing to watch because you think that's... You might never see that again.
And ever.
Like,
yeah, yeah.
You, like we're saying, we've known her. Well, not known her, but she's been there ever since.
On our coins and our notes. And
yeah,
you know,
you see it every day.
The post boxes and...
It, to a point. But yeah, so it's like, it was a big thing. So like, we watched a funeral and proud, you know, proud British moment. We watched it.
Yeah.
But the coronation, I probably won't pay too much attention to it, but it will be on.
I think we'll watch it. I mean, obviously for us, the close tie is obviously, you know, Carly, my wife's dad, was a Queen's Guard, serving Queen's Guard or a Coldstream Guard, basically. So, you know, there is that, and they grew up in that.
Yeah, you have more of a tangible link to it.
Yeah, you know, they grew up in that lifestyle, though I didn't. But, you know, I knew Nick for a few years before he passed away and you know, bought into it, basically, and saw the service and the loyalty and the camaraderie. And, you know, I think England is very much about camaraderie, and I think the military instills that camaraderie in you more than anything else.
Yes.
You know, your fellow man, your fellow citizen, whatever, or your fellow soldier, male or female these days. But yeah, you know, I think it's good old fashioned British, you know, we'll look after each other.
Yeah.
You know, but I just think as a country, we're far too quick to kind of, you know, accept the fact that we're this sort of dirty, you know.
Well, because we're told all the time. So
you kind of take it on board. But yeah, I think the thing is, sometimes you just need to just celebrate these things and just accept that it's part of our culture. And if there's not many other countries that I know that I feel they are ashamed of their culture.
No.
Maybe the French.
Maybe.
But even then, they love themselves.
They're just ashamed to be French.
Yeah, maybe. But if
you are into it or you're not into it, it's still another bank holiday, which is still something to celebrate regardless.
Back to back bank holidays.
It's incredible. It's been stressful.
Well, obviously bank holidays are amazing when you're in them.
Yeah.
The problem is with bank holidays, immediately after them and leading up to them, it means there's more work to do in a shorter space of time. So I've definitely felt it this week. We've also had end of year for a lot of businesses. So our businesses have just gone through our end of year. So this afternoon we had our end of year board meeting with me and my fellow directors. And we've had our worst April on record. We've had our first loss as a business on record since records began. Blimey. And that's quite a shock to the system.
Mm.
But straight into May, first week, pretty good. So business in the UK and in our business is very up and down. It's very unpredictable. It's very week by week.
Because the difference in both our jobs is like the money that you pass through, obviously what I would pass through fixing cars, are two completely different ends of the scale.
Mm.
So like I can imagine a loss for you probably is a fairly higher number than what would be considered a loss for me.
No, not really. I mean, you know, our profits and our losses aren't massive. Bearing in mind we're a small company, we're an independent, we don't have like, you know, millions and millions in the bank. You know, we last month, you know, being open, we made a loss of £4,600.
Oh, that's not too bad then. I thought it was going to be a lot more than that.
No, but we never have made a loss.
No.
You know, even if we make £1 profit, we've always made a profit.
Yeah, yeah.
Certainly since we merged with another company in 2018, and that's when we've kind of tracked it a lot better.
Yeah.
We track it week by week. We've got all
obviously
of our
you've
stats.
Had a lot, because you've obviously redone the office.
That's not included.
That's not included.
So all of building refurbs are in a separate calculation. Okay. So this is just business.
Fair enough.
So refurbs and all that sort of stuff and any money we've spent on...
Trying to justify like I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, but that's to be fair, that's exactly what I said today. Well, we've had to spend on this and spend on that. They went, no. Because I'm not in the finance. I'm in sales and I'm in kind of biz gen and social media and all that sort of stuff. I don't do accounts. So I said exactly what you just said. Oh, yeah, but we spent on this and that. We bought a camera last month. They went, yeah, no, that's on a separate. That's on a separate spreadsheet. That's like something else. This is like pure what we've earned and what we've spent. Things like staff wages would be in there.
Yeah.
You know, building costs, as in heating, electric, gas. That's gone up massively. We obviously own a 5-story building.
Yeah.
We've got no tenants at the minute, so we're not getting any rent. From our uppers. So, you know, we should normally get about £3,000 in rent from our uppers. We're getting nothing.
Yeah.
So all these little things, they just add up.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there's me going, we want to buy a brand new camera. It's £2,500 and I want to get all these lenses.
I want a drone.
But having said that today, one of the senior directors said to me today, Matt, get the drone. You tell us which drone you need and let's get it.
Sweet.
So I was like, what?
Ding, 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 ding.
I've already got the license for it. But I need to decide now between two drones, and I know which ones they are because I'm limited to weight. So it needs to be under 250 grams.
Do we go DJI Mini?
So it's a DJI Mini 3 with the hand controller or the DJI something or other else, which has the goggles.
Yes.
So you can see where you're flying. Now, part of me is thinking probably the goggle one would work better for what I do, which will be flying around properties and going way out to sea and coming back in. Whereas if I'm looking at this, if I need to fly through a doorway, so if the door's opening, someone opens the door and I have to fly through it, that's probably going to be easier if I've got goggles on.
You can see it happening.
So I can see it happening.
Seeing a perspective.
Whereas if I'm doing it, it's like a bit of a games controller.
Yeah.
And it'll probably still work. But if it's really bright outside and the screen, you can't quite see it.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm thinking maybe the ones with the goggles.
So find yourself somewhere nice and comfy to sit while you're out the way.
So that's an exciting development today. Even though we made a loss last month, the guys have faith that we need this stuff
and
to compete and so to take us onto the next
level.
It's
almost that you've got to spend money to make money attitude.
Exactly.
Where
the right
you
attitude,
invest in the right things
and
put the development in.
Yeah.
Because seeing some of the like the property tours you've already done, that you had the drone you sublet out
we
to.
We outsourced,
Like, that footage was incredible. And
we've done another two since then as well. And like, we've been lucky that those properties are right on the clifftop of the sea.
Yeah.
So, like, normally, you take a picture of the property. Okay, nice. You take a picture from the back of the property, maybe overlooking the sea. Yeah, so it looks all right. But when you get a drone and it goes up.
Yeah.
And then you see, like, the proper coastline. It's like the cream on the cake.
It's incredible.
And I said that to the guys. So, like, the footage that I filmed, which is handheld gimbal footage inside the property, and you know, all the photos that I've taken are nice, but what really puts the extra spice on those videos is the drone footage.
Yeah.
So they're like, yeah, no, I get
it. And the fact that you can use a drone to film setup shots and stuff at home means nothing.
That's practice. Yeah. That's just practice. That's practice. So there is also a thing of like...
Because there was that Instagram page, wasn't there? That guy who's using a drone.
That was my inspiration.
Yeah,
that
has
been my inspiration.
Trying to hustle your company out of one ever since.
Well, to be honest with you, I've also been hustling privately to try and save up the funds for it. So I've been, you know, trying to work really hard on collaborations to try and build up the pocket money to basically buy one for myself. And I still might do that.
Mm.
So I, you know, eventually we might have one for work. Because the thing is, I might not always be working there. And if I walk away from there, I walk away from a very expensive camera and a drone.
Yeah.
And I'll have nothing. Well, I have my old stuff, but
it's not the same.
Know, it's not the same. It's not the same. So there we go. So that was a cool day. So I feel we've digressed a little.
Slightly, but it's all good topics.
But it did come off the back of the bank holiday. And one of the things within the bank holiday is you went to Alton Towers last weekend.
Yes, last weekend we did Alton Towers, which was good. We stayed, we got a package deal where we didn't stay at Alton Towers.
Yep.
We stayed at a DoubleTree by Hilton, which is a very nice hotel, which is about half an hour drive from Alton Towers, which half an hour, you can make that 20 minutes if you move it down a little bit.
But you drive.
Yeah, so it was fine. It wasn't too bad at all. We went up Friday night after school. So we picked the girls up from school at 3, straight to Stoke-on-Trent. So that was a bit of a no stopping, just go.
I remember it being that far, but it is, isn't it?
4.5 hours.
Wow.
It's a bit of a slog. And the thing is, I was quite tired because Monday that week, I went up to Nottingham for a training course for work.
That's right.
So I drove up, Monday afternoon, I drove up to more or less Derby, sort of just outside Nottingham. Then I drove back Wednesday night, went to work on Thursday, had Friday off, and drove for Friday straight back up there again. I had to literally drive past the hotel I just stayed in to go up to Stoke-on-Trent.
That was a lot of travel.
So I was a bit knackered that week. But so
what was weather like when you got there? Because
the weather was nice. We had pretty good weather.
Mm-hmm.
It was nice and clear. We had a little bit of drizzle on one of the rides, which I was expecting at Alton Towers. I'm thinking, oh, this is going to be a fucking nightmare. Like, right, queues are going to be ridiculous. But we were about an hour per ride-ish.
Kind of what you expect, isn't it?
Kind of, yeah. We had a small shower on one while we were queuing for one.
Yep.
Which they then went, oh, it's wet weather conditions, so we couldn't do two per carriage, not four. So that doubled the queue. So we were 2 hours in that queue.
Okay.
So that was the longest wait, but it
was...
Is that
the one we got those cracking photos of you and Layla?
No, we didn't get...
The log ride?
No, it wasn't that one.
Those were good.
They were good photos, yeah.
Yeah, I enjoyed those.
Because we did... Because, to be honest, like, backstory, a friend of mine at work doesn't like roller coasters.
No.
Because, obviously, in the job we're in, like, nuts and bolts...
Yeah.
He doesn't trust them.
Fair enough. I get that.
So we went on this ride called the Wicker Man.
Yep.
Really cool ride. It's basically the whole thing is about you are being sacrificed to the Wicker Man.
Okay.
There's this whole thing. They put you in a pen and it goes dark. This big 3D face comes up and he's like, oh, I'm the Wicker Man. Like, blah, blah, blah. Tells you the whole story about the Wicker Man. Brilliant. Kids shit themselves. I loved it.
Yep.
Anyway, the whole time we're in this queue, this whole ride is made out of wood. It's just wood, nuts and bolts. And... I'm looking at it going, yes, be all right.
So it's a roller coaster, right?
Full roller coaster, yeah.
So what about the track? What's that made of?
The track's the metal.
Right.
But
the cars...
But the bits that... No, like the supports, like the framework that goes up that holds the track.
Is wood.
All wood.
Really?
All wood.
Okay.
And so I sent him loads of photos of it.
Yeah,
zooming in on all these nuts and bolts, going, yeah, look at this, mate.
When do they tighten them up? How many times?
Yeah, well, they all had nice... I was checking, they all had nice little bright marks on them to show they've been checked. But yeah, like I was on there, and when you get on it, it's quick. It's bloody quick.
Mm.
It throws you about. And I'm thinking, this is made of wood. This is made of wood.
Yeah, no, I'm not a big ride thing. Now, talking of rides, we just put Disneyland.
Yes.
For next year.
Which is amazing. Great news.
Disneyland, Florida. And I don't do rides either.
Mm.
Now, I will do certain rides, maybe a big slide, maybe a kid's roller coaster.
Yeah.
But not the big stuff.
See, I love roller coasters.
Mm.
My thing is things that spin. So if it's like a twister or a waltzer, you can eat that. You can keep it. I'm not going anywhere near it.
I have a really, and I never used to, I don't think I used to have this, but I have a really bad inertia reflex.
With spinning.
Yeah.
Yeah. If it's a roller coaster, it could be a roller coaster and it could do like 10 loops in a go.
Mm.
I'll be absolutely fine.
So you're like me, you need forward motion.
Yeah, it could do a corkscrew. Yeah. I'll be fine. But the moment you're standing still and you're spinning, then
or
if it's going in any sort of like teacups, going any sort of circle, I just don't like it.
Yeah, it's weird because I almost get the feeling of being sick before I even start them.
Yeah.
So I think it's a bit psychosomatic.
Yeah, definitely.
But I think I also have a very weak sick reflex.
For that, just for
the spin.
Yeah,
it doesn't need to be a lot. Like even spinning the girls around the living room. Like I can be like, ooh.
Just get dizzy quick.
I get that like vertigo.
Yeah,
I get that sensation in my head. I think that's come on a bit more with old age. I don't know.
I think.
But then
right.
some people are just like immune to it. Like Carly loves a ride.
Yeah.
So yeah, we've got basically 10 months to condition us. I don't know how because we don't go to any other places.
I mean, Redhill Fair to come in quick.
Basically, Thunderworld. They've already been here, haven't they? Which is a shame.
Thunderworld down at King's Park coming back anytime soon.
Yeah, exactly. So that's a surprise for us. Well, the kids don't know about that.
There was a moment at Alton Towers. Mm-hmm. Which I have sort of told you about.
Oh, yes. Let's talk about
and
this.
And in my notes, I've called it I Was an Idiot. So, obviously, Saturday morning is our first day at Alton Towers.
Yep.
We wake up in the hotel. We get up at like, I can't remember what time it was. It's before 8 o'clock. It's about 8 o'clock-ish, we'll say, just for argument's sake. Get all of our, we're like packed lunches, snacks, things like that. Packed all the bags up. Mm-hmm. Head downstairs for breakfast. So I'm like, right. Because like, you three girls go for breakfast. Hand over all your stuff. So I've got my bag, Emily's bag, Layla's bag, three coats. And then because we snuck McDonald's into the hotel the night before, I had a bag for life with rubbish to go put in the bin.
Yeah.
So I get outside, dish the rubbish in the bin, get to the car, unlock the car, turf my stuff in the car, shut the boot locks. And I go, where are my car keys? And somehow my car keys had got tangled up within all the coats and bags. And they were now inside the boot locked.
Is it normal for a boot to lock?
Yeah, because on my car, and same as Carly's car, you've got a button at the bottom of the key that you push and hold it. It purely unlocks the boot. So just you push and hold it, indicators flash.
Yeah.
Boot unlocks. You open it. You shove your stuff in the car. You shut the boot. Central locking locks again. That's what I did.
I think that's a fairly, that must be a fairly common thing. Because my car...
Only if you're a bloody moron, apparently.
Yeah. I'm trying to fight for you here. But nice. I would say you could quite easily put the keys in a bag and put it in the boot and shut the boot.
It does happen. Yeah. So anyway, like, I was...
I bet at that point you were just like...
Only because the kicker is that Wednesday prior, while I was coming home from my training course, I'd just finished my exam, and I am now, in the eyes of Kia, fully fledged master technician.
Right.
So I'm now the top level of Kia UK's technician set. I'm like one of their top techs, and I've just locked my keys in the boot.
poetic justice.
Oh, I know. So I've got to walk into the restaurant. CJ, she's all right. I'm like, nope. She said, what's the matter? I was like, I locked the keys in the car. And I was like waiting for her to just go for me. She's like, oh, well, you better sort that one out. You know, we have to get around that way then, won't we? And I'm like, God, I was so pissed. Honestly, I don't think I've been so more angry at myself for a while. And I was like, I was just sick. Like, I couldn't, I was like, oh, get a slice of toast. Just couldn't eat.
Yeah.
Trying to rack my brain. Like, what am I going to do? Like, you know, I'm a Kia technician. I'm getting in this car.
Yeah.
Like, what do I need to do?
I'll bring out all my skills.
Yeah, yeah. I've got no tools. What am I going to do? And she's just like, yeah, just calm. Like, well, you know, here's what it is. We'll figure out a way. And I'm like, why aren't you angry? Get angry at me.
This doesn't make any sense.
Tell me I'm a piece of shit.
Cut a long story short,
I phoned a 24-hour locksmith who was in Telford. So it took him, he got to us. It took him like 45 minutes to get to us.
Yeah.
He spent an hour trying to pick the lock. Couldn't do it.
Right.
But they had like a lot of cars have like braking kits. So you can put like a little airbag in the side of the door. You pump it up.
Yeah.
And it sort of opens up and you get rods in. And he was trying to do stuff. Like he's trying to like push buttons and pull door handles. And I'm telling him it's not going to work. And he's like, well, I've been doing this. Like, you know, it's going to work. And I'm like, right. Just to give you a little bit of background, I work on these cars for a living. But what you're doing isn't going to work.
Okay.
It doesn't work that way.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's like, oh, okay. And in the end, he was like getting calls from other people saying like, why aren't you here yet? And he was telling them he's stuck on a job and he's only telling me he's going to have to go. And I'm thinking, you can't go.
Just, yeah.
Like, if you go, then I'm back to square one. Yeah, like, what can I do?
I've called you out to solve the problem.
Yeah, and like, it's £125 call-out charge.
Yeah.
So I'm going, right, I've got an idea. Can you just humour me for 10 minutes and we'll see if it works?
Yeah.
And so he's like, yeah, what do you want to do? He's like, he goes, there's my kit. He goes, you can get in that car, you get in that car. So I got in the car and I managed to get in through the back door.
Yeah.
Managed to use one of his rods to pull the lever to drop the seat back of the rear seat,
right.
Flop it forward, and then used one of his other rods to hook one of my bags out of the way, grab the lanyard on the keys, and then use the rod to push the button on the key and get in the car.
Very technical.
And he's like, well, oh, he's like, fair play. I guess I wouldn't have thought about doing that. And I'm like, well, clearly not, because you've been here for nearly over an hour.
That's why I'm a master technician, bitch.
And he's like, yeah, so cool, because that's done. So that's £125. I'm like, yeah, you know, I've got to give the guy his dues.
Yeah.
He did spend the time there.
He's tried, he's done his bit.
Yeah, I'm not knocking the guy whatsoever. He was a nice guy.
Yeah.
He was a bit arrogant when I was trying to tell him that he was wrong, but you know.
But the moral of the story is you're better, but you're just shit.
And I'm still an idiot.
But you're just an idiot, yeah.
Yes, I'm never doing that again. And then obviously all day and all weekend, the kids are going, Dad, where are the keys to the car? You haven't lost them, have you? So I got that all weekend.
I bet that was really fun.
Yeah.
We had a nice weekend otherwise.
Yeah, yeah, lovely weekend. Yeah, Jess had a good birthday and we enjoyed Alton Towers. We did the swimming afterwards, which is a little bit like Centre Parks. You know, like the jungle theme. It's like that, a lot smaller scale.
Yep.
We just did say no when it was
outdoors, indoors?
Both. Same. Okay. Literally, think Centre Parks. Smaller.
So like a big dome, you go into it.
Yes,
a
you go
bit
inside.
Of out, bit of in.
There's an inside jungly bit. They've got a little rapids. They've got some water slides. Nice. And then they've got an outside section which you go down some slides.
Nice. Oh, I love Centre Parks. I miss it.
Yeah, it's nowhere near as good as Centre Parks, but it was still quite
again.
Good.
We need to do it again. We need to have a chalet with multiple couples and a sauna and a pool table.
It was good fun. I would keep saying to Jess, like, we're trying to figure out like somebody else's birthday, but like, we're doing it.
Yeah, that'd be good. And tomorrow, kind of like a belated birthday thing, we're going out for a burger dinner.
We're going to have burger dinner tomorrow. Seven Bone Burgers.
Seven Bone Burgers. It's going to be dirty burgers.
It's going to be dirty burgers.
Dirty
burgers.
If
you're
tomorrow.
Listening to this Seven Bone Burgers, we're coming. We need proper service.
Yep.
And maybe take a little discount or some free beer.
We review beers, basically.
Yeah,
so any beers that you want us to review tomorrow,
you need to send them to us.
They're not going to listen to this, Paul.
Mate, I'm sampling this and I'm putting it
You're
in the story.
Tag them.
We're putting
it
in the stories, yeah.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Tag them in there. We can come in tomorrow and I'm going to have a Peter Green. That's the name of the burger, by the way.
Yeah.
Cool. Right, where are we on to next?
We're on to next. We have been muttering on a little bit. So I have a bit of a question for you, a bit of a topic. We've still got a good half hour, 40 minutes to go. I've been seeing a lot lately because obviously the new Star Wars game came out.
Yes.
And Redfall by Bethesda came out recently. They've both got a lot of praise, but they've equally got a lot of negativity towards them.
Okay.
Because they've been a little bit buggy on release.
Yep.
And so my question is, really, what is the point of all these negative and sort of review bombing games where you know the game's good.
Yeah.
We all know from our history as gamers that on release day, you're going to get a day one patch because to meet their criteria of the day of release is met, they need to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And some things can crop up.
I think it's a really good question, but I think it's a really complex one because I think, like you've just touched on, there is a degree of they have their financial deadlines.
Yep.
We're not privy to that conversation.
No.
I think if developers were maybe more open to the fact that we have been told we need to launch by this date, that is our date, come
but
hell or high water.
In a way, when they say this is our release date, that's what they're telling us. They're almost saying that's our deadline.
True, but I think there is the developers and then there is the finances. So there's obviously two different things. So they might say, you need to ship that by quarter one.
Mm.
And the developers are going, that's not going to happen. And they go, it has to happen. And they go, well, we're going to have to work a miracle. And they say, no, you're going to have to work overtime.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And there, you know, because there is a big difference between the people who kind of market the game and the people who make the game.
That's true.
So when you get these reluctant pushbacks, I suspect that's because the game is broken beyond playing or it is quite obviously not ready.
There's been a few bugs that I've sort of seen when you get these news articles come up for these two games specifically. And you kind of just sort of think, say it. I expect a new game to be buggy. one of the ones for Redfall,
yeah,
which is a Bethesda-made game. They're like, oh, you know, it doesn't look as good as it could, like blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking, it's Bethesda. We all love Bethesda.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing they are known for is glitches and...
pretty old, outdated
and
graphics.
And the graphics are never groundbreaking. No, they always not. Do look good. And yeah. They have their own charm about them, in my opinion.
Yeah, like the Fallouts. Like the when the first Fallouts came out, they actually probably were borderline groundbreaking, the open world aspect. And,
yeah.
And obviously Fallout in particular had this very charming sort of retro-futuristic vibe.
Yeah.
It was very unique.
But you look at Skyrim or like Oblivion and then the Fallout games as well, they all look very similar in a sense.
Yeah.
Graphically.
A little bit pixelated.
Yeah, but that's how, in my mind, that's how I associate them. That is a Bethesda game.
Yeah.
And I expect them to look like that, and I like them looking like that.
It was more about the world and the...
the narrative.
The narrative,
yeah.
And the kind of feel and the vibe and the story. They were all good. I think definitely in Fallout, as a case, it kind of lost its way. Redfall, I don't know a lot about, but I do get it. I think the thing is, because cost of buying games has gone up.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, I think for a lot of people now, buying a £60-£70 game, £80 game, you only get that chance once a month.
True.
If you're lucky. So I think, you know, you bet your house on the one you're going to buy.
It's going to be good.
And to a degree, I've got an example here. The kids have been seeing this Disney Speed Racer on all of their advertising for weeks, desperate to get it. I made him wait 3 weeks until I got paid. I was like, nope, can't afford it. We'll get it when we get paid. And I looked at the trailers. It looked cool. You know, it's all the characters from my favourite films, Buzz Lightyear and, you know, Monsters, Inc. And, you know, loads of Disney characters. I thought, this is like Mario Kart, but more up to date, more my kind of vibe. But we also play Mario Kart a fair bit now. Mm. Most evenings we play Mario Kart before bed as a four player.
Nice.
And I've grown to really enjoy that.
Yes, yeah, nice.
And I
nice
reckon
time.
We might be able to come third to you and Jess now, but not like embarrassingly third, because now I've learned how to drift.
Oh, fair enough.
So I might be able to keep up with you a little bit. But we've got fairly good at Mario Kart now.
Yeah.
So going to this game, it's just poor.
Oh, wow.
Like, really? It's a Disney game, so it's not like it's low budget.
No.
Right? And the characters, well, they sell themselves. But the mechanics of the game are absolutely atrocious. The camera angles are atrocious. Like, when you're four-player, you don't know what's going on.
Okay.
Two-player, you don't know what's going on. Like, you're just too much going on the screen. They've got not got the distance to the character right. You can't see anything's coming from behind. You know when you play Mario Kart, you know when a shell's coming.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you're firing
your
shells.
You get,
like,
off. An audible cue, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, and but you can see the whole track. You can see left lane, right lane, bits to the right, bits to the left. It's like with this game, it's too zoomed in. So all you see is the back of your car through the whole thing. It's just a bit weird.
Mm,
and equally, when you change direction on a drift, the car automatically rights itself and goes the other way. So there's no gradual slide.
Yeah.
There's no drift in it. So I think when you've been spoiled by playing Mario Kart, which although I'm not a huge Mario fan, the mechanics are superb. Going to this and spending 30 quid on that, massively disappointed.
Okay.
Yeah, really disappointing.
It's a fair comment.
So I think the difficulty is, I think if you're paying full price, I think you deserve what's coming to you.
I just think there's a difference in having a game and being disappointed and saying, do you know what, I bought this game, it's not as good as it looks, it's not for me.
Mm.
And then there's the other end of the scale where people are like, I had this game bug on me once, I'm now going to give it a negative review everywhere I see, and I'm going to make sure that everybody hears about it.
Look, between you and I hate review culture.
Yeah.
I hate it anyway, because personally, as a business owner, I find reviews are massively biased, depending on, you know, your unique experience. It might have been a one-off, and that one-off might not have met your satisfaction. But for a business to get a one... The thing is with reviews... they're usually 1 to 5, right?
Yep.
They either give you a 5 or they give you a 1.
Mm-hmm.
They don't give you anything in between. So for you to improve on your service, you should maybe get some 3s to encourage you to get 4s, or 4s to encourage you to get 5s, or 2s, but you don't. You get 1. And 1 in my mind means your business is atrocious.
Yeah, you are shit.
Or this game's atrocious. But I think that's the problem, is by giving this sort of stupid 5-star system, it encourages you to do the two extremes,
yeah,
or nothing at
you
all.
You either love it or you hate it. It's Marmite.
Yeah, if it's 2, 3, or 4, no one cares.
No.
They want to hear the worst or the best. And our business has been review bombed, mm-hmm, by one house of students. And we went from 4.6 out of 5 to scraping 4.
Right.
Now, if you drop to 3.9, then you're in big trouble as a business. Mm. Google don't give a shit. They will not remove those reviews. And for you to get back those 10 one-star reviews that didn't even have any text next to them, they just said one star, nothing.
Yeah.
And we appealed to Google and said, this clearly is, like, we can see where the reviews come from. It's come from fucking India. It's not a local review.
Yeah.
This has all come from people that are associated with this one house. They weren't interested.
No.
Now, for us, it's taken us from a 4.6/4.7 company to a 4.1/4.0.
Mm.
And that really hurts.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm with you in the fact that reviews hurt. If they're not genuine or they're to the extreme, like, I didn't like one
thing. I just
think
people blow a lot of things out of proportion.
They do. I absolutely agree with you.
That's kind of my point of the question is, what is the point? Like,
yeah,
we all, to when it comes to games, we all know that the release and the launch of a lot of them are going to have a few issues here and there, because as much as they are tested and tested and tested to see, I mean, you've watched Mythic Quest.
Mm-hmm.
We know they have the people that sit there and play video games all day and just,
yep,
try and force bugs out of it.
Yeah.
There's only so much you can do.
I mean, look, games are harder to make, right?
100%.
They take years to make, so there is a much longer process than maybe... I mean, we're of a generation, yeah, now, myself older than you, but in my day, there was no internet. So when a game came out, that was the game.
Yeah, you like it, you hate it.
It was a good game, it was a bad game. And in those days, you had less... probably opportunity to put things right. Mm. So they made sure they were right before they went out.
Yeah.
So maybe were less bad games.
But then
games
they were a
day.
Lot smaller in capacity then.
Yeah.
Where now you change the colour of plant 27A,
yep,
and all of a sudden you've got rocks falling from the sky.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. So I do agree with that. I think that is where the best developers are the ones that have the best voice to talk to the community,
yeah,
and acknowledge things quickly. And basically do it in a tone that is like, yep, we got that one wrong. We're fixing it. Don't worry.
Yeah.
It's the ones that are just like, AAA game, £65, £70 for the game, or £90 for the collector's edition or whatever. They hype the game up massively and it's broken.
Cyberpunk, for an example.
Yeah.
But I think with that, you know, Cyberpunk, for all of its faults, I think CD Projekt Red did handle
it. They owned it.
They did own it. They handled it quite well. I do have a lot of respect for them as a company.
I think
do
the
like...
problem with them is they'd already delayed it, what, 2-3 times?
Yeah, I think they just... And that goes they back to our... They've obviously got deadlines. They've, yeah, got people breathing down their neck.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to say, we can't do this. And they've just been told, do it. Mm. Do it or we're pulling the plug. Mm. And that's how I see that conversation would have gone.
I probably agree with that. I would say they were pressured by the people who said, we need to get a return on this investment. You've had 9 years in this game.
Yeah.
You've not made any money. We've pumped in 2, 5, 10 million. We
you
need to see a
fix
return.
It now or not.
And in fairness, I think Cyberpunk might be one of those kind of cult games.
Yeah.
That will be popular for a very long time.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, so the group that I play with on a Thursday night,
mm-hmm,
one of them, she still plays it. Like, we were playing last night and she's like, oh yeah, I'll play Cyberpunk again.
It's good. I
it
mean,
is
it's
great.
Good.
Now it's working. Mm. It is an incredible game. And it's probably one of my favourite RPGs of last year.
It is good. I mean, obviously, I had quite a bad introduction to it in the fact that I went straight to console.
Yeah.
I thought, because I tend to pick my console games, the games that I think I'll like to sit on the sofa and play.
Yeah.
As nice as these gaming chairs are, they're not that nice for 4 or 5 hours when you're playing.
No.
They're nice for two hours. It's kind of sweet spot, I think. But if you want to bum about on a sofa all day, killing zombies like Dead Island 2, we were talking about earlier. We'll go into it in a minute. I want to sit on the sofa.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to have a beer. So I got Cyberpunk on Xbox, Series X. And it was massively disappointing.
Rightly, you sold it pretty quickly, didn't you?
I returned it.
Yeah.
I think it was a digital copy.
Mm.
And I got the refund. So I basically downloaded it on launch day.
Yeah.
I played it for a few hours. I got an immediate refund because it wasn't so much that there were bugs. It was so underwhelmingly bad graphically.
Yeah. So I remember having it on the my OG PS4.
Yep.
And I played it, and not only did it sound like a Typhoon jet taking off,
mm-hmm.
it kept crashing. It looked awful. And I was like, I'm not going to sell it because I know that it's going to get fixed eventually.
Yeah.
So I just popped it to one side, and I didn't actually play it until PS5.
Yeah.
Once the PS5 patch came out, then I played it and was like, yeah.
Good game.
I'm so glad I waited.
I switched to PC and basically downloaded it on, I forget the software I used for it, but I downloaded it on that, and it was like night and day, like graphically.
GOG or something.
That's it, GOG. Yeah. I still couldn't run it at Ultra because at Ultra, that game is fucking phenomenal.
It is a thirsty boy though, isn't it?
But it looks absolutely incredible. Yeah. But I think you need to have the top spec, like Carl. Yeah. High Octane mentioned you
need
again.
Like a 7090 that doesn't exist yet.
Yeah, or you know, his 20 fans and you know, a really high end CPU and all that sort of stuff, which I didn't have. So for me, I had to kind of lower the settings. But even then, it was still better than console. But yeah, I think the thing with Cyberpunk, I think like the what do they call it? Transmog.
Yeah,
the transmog on it wasn't quite right.
They've
changed it now where you can make outfits. So that your best level equipment can still look like something else.
Yeah, yeah.
But when it was launched, it didn't have that. So you always looked a bit shit.
Yeah, you were sort of running around in a puffer coat and a miniskirt. No matter
pink hot pants.
Yeah, no matter what gender you were, you were just running around in whatever was best.
Yeah. And also the guns didn't feel like they had a nice progression to leveling up, you know, attachments and things like that. It was very hard to get the attachments. So I finished the game using the same gun pretty much through the whole game. Mm. And that was disappointing. But I think, you know, it's one of those games where it kind of got where it needed to get over a year.
Yeah, yeah. So like
after the game had launched.
They just said we're delaying it again and it's now just going to be PS5 only.
Yeah.
That would have hurt. That would have been a long wait back then.
Hmm.
But equally, probably would have done a bit better.
Yeah. It's a really tough one with reviews because I think there is probably a very fine line between they shouldn't have launched it and it's a few bugs.
I do think, and I'm fully aware that a lot of these media outlets like the GameSpot and the IGN and whatnot, obviously they do bloat these articles and make them sound as horrendous as possible, but you just kind of, I don't know, it's something that just wound me up this week really.
I think this is where it's maybe nice to have the term beta,
yeah,
maybe not alpha. You don't want to be that early on in the game
in progress or whatever.
But it could be early access.
Yeah. See, early access is another one, which is
early access sounds.
It's a bit of a rocky one.
Yeah.
Because if you're paying 70 quid for a game, you don't want it to be early access. It's one of those. It's a double edged sword no matter how you look at it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a tough one. But there you go. I think it's one of those where you can't win in those scenarios. No. I think as consumers, I think we have every right to expect a finished product. I think it's best dealt with by the best media teams.
Yeah.
That acknowledge a problem quickly, but fix it quickly.
Because one of the ones on the other bugs, Star Wars, a new one.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a bug that a lot of people have experienced and complained about.
I've heard about it. I haven't got the game yet. It's coming this weekend. So,
which is, I think, it all revolves around a single boss fight. I believe it's a boss fight.
Yep.
But people have been dying there, and in the nature of whatever attack here, whatever kills you, from the sound of it, they've got like like a Dark Souls style, like you've got to go pick up your souls, pick up your XP.
Yep.
Your XP ends up in the ground.
Right, you can't get it.
You can't get it.
Okay.
Which, yes, that I imagine that is a really annoying thing to happen if you've got a higher lot. But coming off the back of I've played a lot of Souls games, the amount of times that you've been running safely, absolutely fine, and then some twat's been placed around a corner just to push you off the edge. And then your souls are now either
in
on a ledge you're never going to get to.
Yeah,
you've just got to wave goodbye to them.
You're just used to being shat on, basically.
Like, I see souls. That and think, oh, okay.
You've been conditioned to accept bugs, whereas I haven't. Although, reminds me now, Cyberpunk, one of the very first missions, when the police are there and you're going in to get this guy who's gone cyber crazy, you go in there and he's in the floor. And you can't attack him because he's gone underground.
And he's underneath you and he's just poking you from the floor.
He's just and I'm like, I don't know what's going on.
I'm taking damage, but I can't do anything.
I think that was actually the bit that broke the camel's back for me on the PS5, on the Xbox.
Yeah.
Was I played that, got to that mission. I was like, what the fuck? It's like the first, it's like the first thing I've fought and he's in the floor. So I was like, yeah, no, I'm out. Yeah. I'm out at this point.
It's a hard one. Like, I just think people need, in my own mind, people need to be a little bit more accepting of like bugs now and again, because in my mind, they're to be expected to
maybe
a degree.
Maybe in the current gen of the way games are developed, yes. I'm going to be an old fart and say I expect to get what I paid for. So there we go. We've got a difference of opinion, but that is the lovely thing about being friends. We can disagree.
Yeah. I mean, you say that, I now you're dead to me and I'm leaving. If it's not my way, it's not right.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Moving swiftly on. Moving swiftly on. Moving what have we got next?
Well, I'm not talking to you anymore. we've got video games to talk about. You mentioned it, Dead Island. We spoke about Dead Island. Let's talk about that. I've not played it yet.
So you need to play it.
I've got it.
You've got it on the
PS5. Okay, I've got a game I'm trying to finish. I want to finish it first, and then I'm going to load into that.
Perfect. So I got it. Obviously, we work with the same media company, we call it.
I think they're a publisher. Yeah, Play On
publisher.
UK.
Play On UK. So they followed me like a little while ago, and I can't remember whether I'd reached out to them.
One of those weird...
You dropped my name, I think, and said...
It's one of those weird times where by some miracle... I got on this cloud before you did.
Yeah, which is nice. So no, that's awesome. That's been your thing.
And then they were talking about other people.
Saints Row and things. You're a massive fan of Saints Row.
So I managed to get... They were asking about other creators, so I dropped your name in the hat.
And I think at that point is when they followed me.
Possibly.
But they didn't then DM me for a while. And then we were talking about stuff and people were like talking about Dead Island game in our chat. And I was like, oh, I'll just drop a little hello. So all my message said was, hey guys, thanks for the follow recently. We haven't really spoken since you followed me. But if I'm well up for working with you, if you want to do anything, you know, coming up. So they went, we've obviously just launched Dead Island. All of the good shit's gone. Like all of the you know,
that's
the special
collector's
editions and anything with the extra stuff is gone.
Which looked cool because there was a nice Hawaiian shirt and a pair of flip-flops in there.
That would have suited me right to the ground. But they said, look, we've got a few copies of the games. What platform are you on? I said, well, look, I play a lot of PC. But to be honest, this game looks like a sofa game. So I don't have a PS5. I've only got a PS4. So for me, it's going to be Xbox. So they sent it out. And for me, I've just finished, obviously, a couple of games. Finished Hogwarts. And I've been kind of just hopping around since then. Playing a few other things. Apex Legends, obviously, is my great filler game that I always play when I'm in between games. And they sent out Dead Island 2. So I went into it with, because I'd read reviews, like we said, I went into it with fairly limited expectations, let's say. I thought it's going to be fun, but it's not going to be groundbreaking.
No. And like, did you play the first Dead Island?
No.
Because the first Dead Island, like, it wasn't anything breathtaking, earth-shattering. Like, it was nonsense, but it was so fun. And you could get, like, 3 or 4 people playing it together. Yeah. And it was just hilarious fun. Just hilarious zombie-killing fun.
I think that is pretty much where this one pitches itself again. Because the weapons are fantastic. Mm. The creativity of the weapons, fantastic. The different varieties of zombies are really good. It doesn't have, like, I referred to this off podcast about Days Gone. Now, for me, Days Gone has set the benchmark for me of every zombie game.
And that is a game, going back, that came out, was a little bit rocky, and it's now a fucking masterpiece.
It's a cult classic now for me, Days Gone. Now, the thing is, I don't like horror games, but for me, Days Gone had everything you would want in a game in terms of story, open world, nice upgrade path of all your gear.
Yeah.
You got to the end of it, you felt like a badass. At the beginning, you felt like a pussy and you were really scared and every single zombie scared the shit out of you. But they got the zombies absolutely right in getting that fast-moving, you know, horde mentality. You know, got it really well.
You had your slow shufflers and you had your runners.
Yeah.
Which was really nice.
But it wasn't so obvious. Like with Dead Island, you get ones, they actually call them runners. Mm. So above the heads of the different zombies, they call them different things. To kind of give you a clue, I guess, as to what their power is. Because they have different sort of things going on. I won't give anything away. But, you know, how you fight certain ones are different. So a runner is going to come at you quicker than you can get your gun out. So you need to get your melee game on. Right? So, but with Days Gone, it definitely felt like... It was all zombies when they saw you would fucking go mental and rage at you and run at you.
With Days Gone, you were kind of always finger on the trigger. You were ready for something.
Yeah, you didn't were. Know,
you everything you did was preparation.
Yeah.
You were going traveling and you were prepared for an ambush. You were prepared for anything to happen.
But equally, there was the volume. So these zombie games, yes, you might come up against 8.
Yeah.
That's your level. That's kind of, so far... That's kind of like the max.
It's no sawmill.
No, it's not.
No.
So the thing is, you know, you've got the zombies, you can see them down the road, and it's nice, you can pick them off, you can go up to them, you sneak up to them, you do all the normal stuff that you would expect in a zombie game, bash them over the head, one hit to kill them, whatever. Some of them are more tanky than others, some of them are really quick, you need to be agile, but you never get that sense of, like, holy shit. Or not yet. I mean, I'm only 2 hours into the game. Yeah, yeah. So this is first impressions.
I think there's like...
But with Days Gone, you got that, oh my fucking God, I'm shitting my pants.
Yeah. You've only just started the game and you've got 20 of them chasing you.
Yeah, I'm running and I don't want to look back.
Yeah.
Because if I look back, I'm going to see 20, 30 zombies.
And I'm going
to
die.
You know, and then you've got to go through these little routes to make these little kind of things happen so that they slow them down by 5 seconds.
Yeah,
so
you can get
a bit... So like for me, Days Gone as a non-horror fan was like... That is what I expect zombie games to be like. Less cartoony, more shitting my pants, but not jump scares. It's a visceral sort of...
It is.
Being overwhelmed by this massive horde of zombies was so good. And I'm amazed that they haven't made a sequel. The fact they wanted to reboot fucking...
Last of Us.
Last of Us again. You know, they've obviously fallen out with the developer or the owner of the development house, whatever.
Yeah, I think
he's a bit of a knob from what I've heard. But
Days Gone will be on the Apple Watch soon, you watch. Not Days Gone, Last of Us.
it will be. It'll be on everywhere, on the Switch probably soon. Yeah. But yeah, going back to Dead Island, very good fun. But there's one feature I wanted to touch on.
We talked about this. You've liked this feature and it sounds amazing.
It does sound really good. So, okay, right, picture this. So you put on your headset. I have a Razer headset, which I use in the lounge. Razer headset's on, right? You have a microphone. You have mic monitoring, so you can hear yourself talk.
Yep.
And you have your controller right in front of you. Now, on the Xbox controller, you have a button with three stripes I call the start button, mm-hmm. right? And now you set it up to work with your Alexa, right? So it has voice recognition. You have to pair your game with your Amazon account, and it doesn't trigger your in your house,
mm-hmm.
just on your headset. So you press the start button, and then you can voice act the game.
Wow!
So you can do things like equip my best weapon, equip my best sharp weapon, equip my best melee weapon, and the loads of other stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah, that's really cool.
But also, it has voice proximity for the zombies. So if you can imagine, like, you've got a horde of zombies, which, again, they don't have the horde mentality in this, but you have 40 zombies, but three or four are fairly close to you, you can press the button and go, hey, zombies, over here. And they will hear you talk, and they will come towards you.
That's so good.
So it may sound fairly simple, but normally to attract zombies, the game asks you to throw a rock.
Yeah, yeah.
It asks you to tap something.
Chuck a bottle.
Make a noise. No, this asks you to actually say something in the game. And until you've actually done it, it's actually very immersive.
Yeah.
Like, really immersive. So
does it just copy what you've said, or does it...
No. It's just your voice.
Oh, so it's just your voice.
So it's not dictating what you've said.
No.
So you don't go, hey, over here, and then the character goes, hey, over here.
Yeah.
It's your voice.
Or it's not a case that you say, hey, over here, and he comes out with like a, oh, you fucking brain eater.
No, exactly. It's your voice that it's using. And what you will then see is a zombie stand up, straighten up, and you'll see a little icon on the screen to, well, first you see the blue ring, like an Alexa ring on the screen. So when you do the actual sound, you see the ring going to recognize that you have engaged that mode.
Yeah.
Then you'll see like a little red mark above the zombie to go, he's heard something. So the idea of it is you can be like, hey, over here. But as I said off camera, you don't do that because you're already in kind of panic zombie mode. So you're like, hey, fucking asshole, I'm fucking over here. And then you get a bit brave and you start, like, you know, swearing down the microphone, and they obviously hear it.
Mm.
So it's just a really cool thing that I'm like, why hasn't more people done this?
Yeah, it's cool.
When you're playing, it doesn't have to be zombies. I mean, it could be anything, but you could be in a game where you're playing like a Call of Duty against a computer opponent, you know, a AI. And you basically call them over and then you snap the neck or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like so obvious why they haven't done it. Skyrim would have been amazing.
Yeah.
If you could talk what you want to, rather than choose from a dialogue option.
Yeah, if you could just say it.
You say it.
Yeah.
Like, I'd like to see what you've got for sale.
That is a technology I can imagine will come. Like, with the way
AI is going to help.
AI
this.
is developing at the moment. That is something that could happen.
But could you imagine being sat there on Skyrim, for example, and going into a like a tavern and going up to the bartender and rather than choosing from five options, going, hey, mate, what you got for sale?
Yeah, show me what you got.
What you got? Or, I want to buy some weapons. What have you got?
Got any missions going around? I heard any rumours?
And I imagine it must be a fairly simple thing in today's age to implement.
Yeah. The old shouts would be a bit difficult to do, though, wouldn't they?
Hasrodar.
Yeah.
But it was just, like, it seems like so obvious, but actually it added a whole new dimension to the game.
I mean, that mechanic and Hogwarts.
Yeah.
Imperium.
Casting spells. How much fun would
that be?
That'd
be so good.
Yeah? Doing all the different spells.
Yeah.
Would be really, really cool. So like what they've done in Dead Island, if they'd have put in Hogwarts Legacy, would have been brilliant.
Yeah, so but it takes one game to do these sort of things and other people to go, hang on a minute. But so yeah,
that was really good.
Yeah.
So I think
there's
all sorts of implications where you could add that into other games. I think that was, for me, again, I can't really judge the game massively, but so far from about 2 hours, 3 hours in.
Not fun.
It's fun.
I think from what I heard, it's like the third mission is where co-op opens.
Right.
So if I can, we'll do a bit of digging. If it is cross-play.
Well, we've seen that it's cross-generation.
Yeah.
Which means same console.
Or if it ends up, if it's on Game Pass, then... Then, because I now have an Xbox. I've joined the dark side. So if it's on Game Pass, I'll grab it on Game Pass.
I'll do it on that. We can play co-op.
Or if push comes to shove, I could just... Text a contact and just say, just get a download code.
Yeah, that would be really good because I think co-op games, they don't make enough of them. I think obviously the focus for the last few years has been like mass multiplayer games, you know, Battle Royale, 100 players, those sort of things. So you play with your friends in those games. But actually, cooperative games where you're playing through the same story together.
The one thing with co-op games that I have noticed over the years is if they do it, they've now dropped down to 3 players rather than 4.
Even 2, I don't mind.
I don't mind 2. If it's 2-player, fair enough. But when you've got like a group of people and you have to go to these 3 players, it is a pain in the ass because, one, it's just hard to find 3 friends.
Yeah.
So I play with a group of 4. So we play Overwatch, Siege.
Yeah.
If we want to play Destiny together.
Well, that was always the one for me. Destiny was always a kicker. Unless you were doing a raid.
Yeah.
You know, if you were doing a Nightfall, it's 3.
But if you want to do the whole story with your friends.
Yeah.
You can't unless you all just mic'd up and just happen to play at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah, I get that. I totally get that. I think I've loved co-op games since playing games like Siphon Filter, Splinter Cell, where I think Splinter Cell was one of the ones where you could play the game co-op together and you could help each other up under windowsill ledges, you know, so you were like 2 spies.
Yeah, there was Army of Two
was
Army
more
of
recent.
Two is such a good game.
You know, it's just, you know, those things. It doesn't always have to be like loads of bombs and explosions and stuff. It'd be quite clever stuff. Yeah. Like I remember on Splinter Cell, there was a maneuver you could do to get over a wider gap where the one would run at you, the other would then kind of flip you head over.
Yeah.
To get over
a wide
gap.
Like a springboard.
And it was just those little things that just made, you know, if your friend's in a different place to you, you're on the headset. Because we play a lot of games where we talk to each other, but you're not interacting with each other in the game.
No, we're playing Apex together, which is a case of like team over there, team here, items here.
So you're talking together and you're pointing stuff out. But if in Apex playing as 2 that you could help each other up onto different platforms, or you could do maneuvers together and combine your powers or you know, things like that, then you know that would feel
it
more
would be
cooperative.
Because Army of 2 had like great mechanics like that, where you could play it single player, you could play it co-op.
Yeah.
But it'd be like the same, like there's a wall there, right? I'll give you a boost up, and then like you'd boost them up onto it, and then they'd drop their hand down to pick you up, and it'd be all sorts of. One of you could sort of get on all fours, the other one could stand on his back, and you could peek over the wall.
Yeah.
And start popping people off.
That's the kind of stuff I love.
So cool.
Yeah, that's the kind of stuff I love. So yeah, co-op would be awesome. So we'll see with Dead Island. We don't think it's cross-platform play, but we do think it is cross-generation. Yeah. So your Xbox Series S could play with my Xbox Series X.
Yeah, which they're effectively the same console, the same generation, aren't they?
Yeah.
So it should be fine.
It should be fine. So we'll give that a go eventually. But yeah, I'm kind of just a couple of hours ahead of you. But anyone that's listening, do try out the Alexa feature. Get that programmed quickly.
That does sound good.
Again, I think it unlocks after a certain point. Okay. So I think it's once you've been through the dialogue and the
tutorial,
training and
that,
you know,
sort of
tutorial
thing,
and stuff, it kind of unlocks that option for you. But that is something I wish other games maybe pick up on.
Yeah, yeah. No, that does sound like a really cool mechanic. And I would like to give it a go.
Yeah.
And there are other games. There are a lot of games I could see it working in very well.
Star Wars with your droid.
Yeah.
You know, commanding your droid.
BD-1, go do this.
Can you go pick up that material over there?
Yeah.
You know, can you shock that bad guy?
Yeah.
I think the voice command thing definitely gives you a little bit more feeling like you're in the game.
Definitely, if you've got headphones on as well, the immersion is through the roof.
It's really good. It's really good.
That's
and if
cool.
if we get a chance tonight, I'll show you it on Dead Island.
Yeah,
so you can have a little
pick Layla up, and I can always pop back
be quite
for a little
cool.
bit, see what happens.
Cool. Moving on. Where are we
moving
at next?
On. That actually brings us to the end of our podcast. For
Fine.
This week.
Well, let's finish off then with the beer number two.
Beer number two.
And you can either choose to take this with
you.
We're
at the hour mark, but we can.
We'll do a little kind of bonus entry. So I'm going to go get the beers. So yeah. I'm going to come off mic.
Don't look at it just yet.
I'm hot. Eyes are closed.
Lap.
Oh, that wasn't the beer in my lap.
Was my hand. That was the can.
Yeah, you cut
right.
me.
So we're back on microphone.
Yep.
So we have a brew dog.
A brew dog. Ho-ho.
It's called Rattle and Rum.
Oh, see, my workshop controller at work sent me a picture of this can the other day, and I was
there
like, this looks naughty.
There we go. So we've got a limited and exclusive small batch release of a rum and oak chip stout. It's 7.4% volume.
See that. Now who's the fucking naughty
yeah,
man?
Yeah, boy. I told you we switched this week. So this is a hops and barley stout, but with rum and oak chip flavouring. So I'm guessing this is going to be a very smoky stout.
Yeah, that does look
I'm
good.
Very much looking forward to drinking this.
Yeah, that looks very
so
nice.
So you take yours home. I will drink mine over the weekend.
Let's
see what you think.
If I do come back, maybe we can just...
We'll have it later.
We'll have a talk after finish.
We'll have it later off the podcast.
That is a very, very... I think this is one that people are going to want to hear about.
I think so. So a Brewdog Rattle and Rum. Now, this was an Asda beer.
Okay.
I want to say it was an Asda beer because I think they had the normal kind of 3 for $5 or 3 for $6 or something like that. And I bought two of the other Brewdogs, which were quite nice. I bought a really fruity one the other day. I did put in my story, was the orange can.
Yes.
And that was a lychee and mango ale.
Very nice.
And it was absolutely delicious, like perfect summer beer. Mm. Like not normally I like room temperature. I think one you have to have it not cold, but chilled.
Yes.
Yeah. Lychee and mango, nice ale, very refreshing, very light.
Mm.
This one is going to be room temperature. Thick, dark.
It's going to be nice.
Rum, smoky taste. I think this is going to be a good one.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be good, but it's 7.4, so you
7.4.
Cannot be driving.
Or
it needs to be very late. So no one pulls you over.
Yeah. Rattle and Rum.
Rattle and Rum. We'll get a picture of that one. The beer that you brought in earlier went down very nicely.
It's gone.
It had an unusual smell to the aftertaste. It was a bit of a kind of an artificially... kind of bitter smell.
Yeah. I think that's because it's an Audi beer. Audi. It was only like a couple of quid.
Like the smell wasn't that nice. If you smell that, can.
Yeah, it doesn't smell
it's
great.
It's a bit funky.
Yeah, but the beer
but
tasted
weirdly,
lovely.
The taste was really nice.
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe that was the dog we're smelling.
Could be the old King Charles we're smelling.
maybe it's like, it did smell a bit wet dog.
Yeah.
That's a wet dog smell. So maybe that is the,
that is
for
it.
In every can, there is a hint
of wet
of
dog.
A Charles Cavalier. But that was really nice. So that is an
amazing.
Aldi beer, Great British Brewing Company, Session Pale Ale. Long live the King. In probably honour of the King's coronation in the UK tomorrow. So thank you very much for that. And if we get a chance, we'll also review the Rattle and Rum, maybe on our stories later.
Yes, we'll have a go.
There we go. So thank you, everyone,
thank
for joining
listening.
In. Episode 8 of Season 3. I don't know which point
digits.
We'll finish Season 3. Maybe we finish Season 3 in the summer.
Yeah.
And then we go into Season 4 in the winter.
Yeah, sounds good.
Maybe that's a nice thing to do. And maybe we'll then evolve the podcast as we get even more comfortable and maybe we can bring back video. Who knows?
Maybe. We'll see what happens.
Who knows?
It's,
we'll keep you guessing.
It's a fun journey and I'm enjoying it.
We'll keep you guessing. But thank you
thank you for listening.
To my co-host, the...
Thank you to you.
...ever lovely Paul or MechTech Gaming. And I will enjoy our burger together tomorrow night.
Seven Bone Burger.
I hope we get to...
We're coming for you.
...lovingly look in each other's eyes while the kids demolish their food. And the wise talk shit.
We'll just argue all that.
Yeah.
See what happens.
Sounds good. There we go, everyone.
Have a good
Thank
weekend, everyone.
Thank you for joining in. We'll catch you soon. Bye-bye.
See ya. Bye-bye.